times of change and transition can be challenging. When life moves us in a new direction, often it is stressful. We may, in those times, experience anxiety, fear, sadness. We might become fearful. During this nearly year-long pandemic that we are living through, many of us have felt some of these. This is a difficult time. Even with the promise of increasing inoculations, we still are not finished with this coronavirus. More difficult months are likely still ahead of us. Throughout human history, humanity has found times like these challenging. That's true during pandemics, plagues, and famines. It's also true for individuals in more personal times of uncertainty. When we are confronted with dramatic change and an uncertain future, stress results. We might not want to face what is happening. We may embrace denial, hoping to push the impending reality away, keeping it from us for as long as possible. In our first lesson from the second book of Kings, Elisha faces this challenge. Elisha is called to be Elijah's heir, literally taking Elijah's mantle from him. He has followed Elijah, learning from the more experienced prophet. Elisha is transitioning from being the follower of Elijah to the one who is taking Elijah's place, becoming the spiritual leader of the people. On the cusp of this transition, Elisha follows Elijah, even though Elijah keeps telling him not to follow him. And along the way, as we heard in our lesson, Elijah meets other prophets, and they ask if he knows that Elijah is departing soon. Elisha says he knows, and then asks they not talk about it. Elijah wishes everyone would just stop mentioning Elijah's impending departure. This departure of his mentor and his guide is too much for Elisha to take in. And when at last Elijah leaves in that whirlwind, Elisha rends his garments, a sign of grief and of mourning. This moment of transition simply is hard for Elisha. Everything is changing for him. Though he experiences that amazing vision of Elijah taken up in a whirlwind to heaven, taken up in that chariot of fire, those horses of fire, though he inherits Elijah's mantle and a double share of Elijah's spirit, he finds little comfort. Elisha's certainty is being ripped away. And it is only by surrendering to this reality that Elisha can embrace the new chapter that God has in store for him. He must let go of what he has known and step out into the uncertainty of what the future holds, doing so by trusting God to lead and sustain him. For Elisha to go where God leads him, he must surrender everything to God, letting go of the past and embracing and accepting the time of uncertainty he is entering. He must surrender his grief and anxiety to God, trusting that God will watch over and guide him through this transition. Elisha's experience is, I think, an important reminder to us. We are likely, as most people are, most comfortable when we are living with perceived certainty. Many of us hope for times like that, and we construct narratives around those times. And we can use denial to avoid accepting the end of those times, accepting a difficult transition. When we do this, however, we are actually closing ourselves down to God. We're not open to God in that posture. While we do not like uncertainty and may try to avoid it, those times of change are actually a gift from God. They are times when God can reach us, when we can open ourselves and hear God's call in fresh ways, and where we can follow into the new reality to which God is leading us. In her book, How to Lead When You Don't Know Where You're Going, the pastor, spiritual director, and author Susan Beaumont calls these times a liminal season. Liminal is an English word derived from the Latin word for threshold. Liminal seasons are those times we stand on the edge of one way of life and a new way that is unknown that lies ahead of us. Most of us don't like these times, but the reality is it's precisely these moments that God uses to speak to us. We see this in Elisha's experience. We see it throughout Scripture. Beaumont illustrates this by quoting the Franciscan Richard Rohr, who writes of liminal seasons, and I quote, "All transformation takes place here. We have to allow ourselves to be drawn out of business as usual and remain patiently on the threshold, limen in Latin, where we are betwixt and between the familiar and the completely unknown. There alone is our old world left behind. That's a good space where genuine newness can begin. It's the realm where God can best get at us because our false certitudes are finally out of the way. This is the sacred space where the old world is able to fall apart and a bigger world is revealed. If we don't experience liminal space in our lives, we start idealizing normalcy." Unquote. Liminal seasons are those thresholds, thresholds requiring we surrender the past and move into an unknown future, embracing the joys of the journey along with its sorrows and its losses. It requires letting go of our need for normalcy, letting go of what is happening, being open to what is unfolding. Our sacred charge is to let go of what is certain and follow God into an uncertain yet wider world. There is no shortcut for this. There is no easy road, and we can't just stop on the threshold. God calls us, God impels us forward into the unknown. In today's gospel, three of the apostles experience a liminal moment. They experience a threshold that leads them onto the way of the cross. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his inner circle of disciples, up a mountain. They are apart from the others. The three are alone with Jesus. While on the mountain, Jesus becomes dazzling white. He is transfigured before them. And he talks with Moses and Elijah, who appear with him. Peter, James, and John are terrified by this experience, which is not surprising. Who of us wouldn't be terrified by such a sight? In his terror, Peter doesn't know quite what to say and suggests the wrong response to the moment. He wants to build three booths, three shrines on that mountaintop. Now, I don't at all fault Peter. He responds in a very logical way. When something profound happens, we want to mark the spot. We want to commemorate the event. There's an impulse to stay in that place where something significant happened, to dwell in that moment. God, however, has other ideas. God speaks from the cloud and echoes the words first spoken at the baptism of Jesus. God's voice tells the apostles, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." God tells the three to listen to Jesus and by implication calls them to follow him. They are called to let go of that instinct to stay in the moment. They are called to leave the mountaintop and to follow Jesus on to Jerusalem, to his passion his suffering and his death on the cross. Peter, James, and John on that mountaintop have an experience of Jesus that disarms them. After following Jesus all this time, they have a sense they know who he is. And yet, Mark tells us in this gospel repeatedly that they misunderstand Jesus. They don't see him as well as they think they do. Yet in that liminal moment of the transfiguration, they are given a glimpse of Jesus as he truly is. They are given the gift of seeing his glory revealed, if only for a moment. They see what will only be fully revealed after his death and resurrection. On the mountain, they witness the power, the majesty of the one who is fully human and fully God, the one who is the Son of Man, the Son of God. They glimpse the eternal light of God revealed here on earth. In this liminal time on the mountaintop, they experience the revelation of the true nature of Jesus, and then they are sent from that experience into a challenging and uncertain future. While the road ahead for them will be arduous and demanding, the revelation on the mountaintop can sustain them in the difficult days ahead. They can carry with them the promise of the glory to be revealed when Jesus is raised from the dead. Today is the last Sunday after the Epiphany. Lent begins this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. We are entering what is in fact a liminal season in itself, a season of the wilderness, a season where the familiar and the routine is stripped away. We are entering a season where we are called to confront our cravings and our sinfulness, a time we're called to examine the ways we resist following God. It is a season which has as a hallmark the call to repent of these ways, to reorient our lives, literally to turn back toward God, to embrace God's call for us. After so many months of what has in fact been liminal living during this pandemic, we might be resistant to Lent this year. We may feel that we have been living one long Lent since March of last year. And while this is true in some ways, and certainly I feel this as well as many others, I still want to encourage all of us to embrace the gift of this holy season. For we stand on a threshold, and the only way to move across it, to enter into the abundant life God desires for us, is to open ourselves to what God is doing now, to see where God is leading us. And this requires we move forward across that threshold into an unknown future. It requires we move away from our desire for the past, for normalcy, for what was once routine. And the promise is, if we embrace this season, I am confident our lives will be richer for it. What God has in store for us is far more than we can ask or imagine for ourselves. Lent's call is to embrace the wilderness in our lives, to name those parts of us that are barren and dark, those places that we even avoid looking into, places that we hope to keep hidden, to not let God see. Lent calls us to dare to let the light of God's transforming love shine even into those parts of our lives. Our call is to step across that threshold, allowing Jesus to lead us into a new life we have yet to glimpse. As we move to the start of Lent, I invite us all to honestly examine our lives, to ask questions such as, how have we been faithful to God in the past year? How have we lived as God calls us to live? How have we strayed from God's ways? How have we turned away from God's love? How have we resisted the new places God is leading us? When have we resisted crossing the threshold God has in front of us? Perhaps these questions will help us discern how God is calling us to keep a holy Lent this year. The Ash Wednesday liturgy reminds us of Lent's call. In the Book of Common Prayer on Ash Wednesday, we are invited to keep a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. I wonder what disciplines and practices each of us needs this Lent so that we can allow ourselves to be drawn closer to God, to allow God to be at work in us in new ways, calling us deeper into relationship with God, our neighbor, ourselves, and creation. This time of pandemic, of dislocation, sadness, and loss is a holy time. It is a liminal time. It is a time when God speaks to us in new ways, when God calls us into a new way of life. We stand on the threshold between the past and the not yet clear future. God invites us to move forward trustingly into the unknown. God extends a supporting hand to help us walk over the threshold and into a land of untold blessings and wonders. Like Elisha, Peter, James, and John, and all who have gone before us, we are called to set out into the unknown, trusting God is with us, guiding and sustaining us. Let us embrace this moment, giving up the certainty and the familiar, giving up the quest for normalcy, in order that we might know the glory God has in store for us. May we step across the threshold into liminality, moving bit by bit to the fullness of God's glory, which is our inheritance as beloved children of God. Those who are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, and who are destined for the glory of life eternal with God. Amen.